crazy how preachers, we always slap each other, hug each other's neck. We just saw each other 3 minutes ago. I don't know why we all do that. I've done it all my life. I mean, ever since I've been in church. And it's good to be here. Didn't know if I was going to make it this week. I mean, delayed in Houston. How can you get delayed? Get on the airport. Get on the littlest plane, I guess they make. You know, you got to be 6 feet apart in the airport. You got to have on mask. And then when you get on the plane, you're sitting 2.5 inches from this other person. And they're going, hey, what are you doing? And I'm like, oh, like breathe on me. You know, and then they put us out on the runway, and right then the plane just shuts down. And I went, oh, I'd have done this before. And an hour later, they pulled us and flew us to Dallas. Get in there and run. Get on that plane. I text pastor, my Lord, we're running late, da-da-da. Get on that plane. The pilot ain't on there. Who ever heard of a plane? I'm like, what do you mean there's no pilot? Finally got out of there, and I was like, well, praise the Lord. So I'll just have to tell everybody, I didn't take a bath before I went to church tonight. I know some of y'all didn't either. Don't worry about it. And I did what my mama used to say, take one of them sponge baths. And there wasn't no such thing as a sponge back in them days. I want to talk to you tonight about repositioning for greatness. Repositioning for greatness. Look at your neighbor and say, sometimes you have to be repositioned. You may be seated. Thank you, sis, for playing. All of you that are visitors here, please. I see. Have you ever been here before? With me? Yeah. No, not with me. You're in for it. I don't preach like regular preachers, I don't think. Sometimes we just can't understand, most of the times we can understand how the process is for being something great. All right? The problem is, some of the problem, not all the problem, some of the problem is how you were raised. I have never told my children, you're an idiot. Never said those words. Now, I've said it to some other kids. And I've never told my children, you'll never amount to nothing. All right? I have always told my children what my grandfather told me and my dad told me, you're a Poe. And that means a lot. There's a building in Longview, Texas. I have a picture of it on my phone. I wish I'd have thought about it, I'd have shot it up there to them. And is my grandfather's company. My grandfather used to own half that city. And he owned the dry cleaners, the car dealership. He was the mechanics. He had 17 mechanics. And there's this building there that was the largest mechanic shop. I mentioned the other night about riding my little tricycle with two tires through it. And right at the top, it just said the word P-O-E. Two-story, biggest building in town back in those days. And I couldn't quite convince my children how important that name is. And so one day I drove them down on High Street. And I said, look at that building right there. Your great-grandfather has been dead since the 70s. And your grandfather died in 99. That name is so strong in this town, they're scared to pull the building down. Because Papa and Grandpa might be walking in there right now. Well, they were just shocked that this old brick building is still there with the name Poe. And I took a picture of it, and I said, that's why we pose can do anything. Now, see, that's the problem. Some of y'all have been raised that you can't do anything. Hallelujah. I'm going to get in there a little bit. Now, well, I won't ask you how many, but I've made an F on my report card before. All right? I've made more than one F on my report card before. I hated English, loved my English teacher, but wound up writing poetry and music. How does that work? Short stories. I hated chemistry, but wound up being an illegal chemist. Well, I mean, you know, I didn't have a degree in it. Ruined many a bathroom. And but just because I made an F didn't mean I was a failure. It just mean at that particular time. Now, in chemistry, Karen Reynolds was a chick that knew all them figures. Okay? Now, I like to buy, I like biology. I mean, we cutting up stuff. I could do that. I love that. Because we cut up a frog, I'd say, now, hold on just a minute. Don't throw that out. We can cook them up. And we were rednecks. It was like, you cut all that up in there, but you keep them legs, all right? And bring home a batch to Grandma. Where you been? Down there frog gigging? No, been to class. But Karen Reynolds was making, we had a chemistry test, and so they had all those vials out. So Karen's little desk thing was right there, and all I did was watch her, because she is brilliant. And wherever she poured, I poured. When she put the second one in there, I put the second. I just stared at her the whole time. What I didn't know is the chemist, the teacher, did not put all the vials in the same place on every desk. Suddenly, Gordon Pohl started smoking, smelling. Karen's in, and he looks up, and he can, everybody can smell it. He said, well, Mr. Pohl, you must have been cheating. He come running back there, and I said, I was just, what you going to say? I must have missed something she put in there. Threw it out the back door, onto the grass, and as long as I went to high school, the grass never grew there. They still don't know what was mixed up. I know this, we could have dropped it on a rack. Never mind. And so I failed that class. You know what he told me? Now, this is in the old days. They probably still do it. He brought me in there and he said, Gordon, or Mr. Poe, he'd call you Mr. like you was a big deal. Mr. Poe, I guess you know you're failing chemistry. And I'd go, well, since I've never made anything above a 70, unless y'all drop that down to 52 or something. And he said, but I'm going to pass you just to get you out of my class. I said, well, I appreciate that because I'll give you my solemn oath right now. I will never be involved in chemistry. Little did I know later in life, we didn't call it chemistry, we called it cooking. What you cooking? Oh, some of y'all are laughing because you know the difference. It's like,
what is the difference between chemistry and cooking? I cook every day.
Not in the bathtub. Okay? And so, just because you've been told that you can't succeed does not mean you cannot succeed. But you can be told that so much that you just become comfortable with those crutches, and therefore you expect failure instead of success. Can you say amen? I told you the other day when I went to prison, you know, they told me after 2 years, they told me, Oh, by the way, you can't get out without a GED because I didn't have a high school diploma. I got mad in high school because I had long hair, played basketball, missed a shot. The coach dragged me aside. This is back in the days when there was a big deal about guys having long hair and everybody had short hair and we were constitutionally standing up for our rights. And, oh, yeah, I've done a bunch of stuff. And took a chainsaw to school one time. And hallelujah, just to make a point, and you know, just in case something got in my way. Anyway, there's a lot of things about Brother Poe. Y'all are really glad I got the Holy Ghost. I promise you that. He said, "You cut your hair and you can continue to play." I said, "I ain't cutting my hair." Well, he said, "Well, then when we you can't play." I said, "I quit the team." Well, then Mr. Fields calls me in the principal's office and says, "You got to cut your hair." Now, my hair was long, and I went, "I ain't cutting my hair." He said, "You won't play basketball," and I said, "You ain't going to tell me I had to cut my hair," and I did it like that. You know, when I do it, just whoo, like it. I said, "I'll quit school," and then I joined the Navy, and they gave me a buzz cut. That didn't even make sense. Joined the Navy, and the guy goes, I went, "Shh, I could have been in college shooting hoops right now." But later in life, I began to realize that people just assume the worst in themselves. Because they have had trouble, ups or downs, and they have another one and they have another one, then they become more expectant of the trouble than they do of success. And so it's easier for you to assume failure than it is for you to work for greatness. Because greatness does not come automatically. Failures come automatically. Can somebody say amen? You don't have to do nothing and you can have a failure. I mean, I've been doing nothing at the house and had a bad phone call. And like, dude, I wasn't out there in my front sign, "Hey, somebody call me a bad word." And now answer the phone is like, "Blankety, blankety, 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 blank." I said, "Bank, bank, bank what?" I didn't ask all that. It just happened. And I get off the phone, I'm like, dude, well, see, failures just come. They're just like lining up to come. But if you're going to be great, what you're going to have to do is reposition yourself from the expectation of failure to the expectation of being great. You use your failures to become great. Look at your neighbor and say, "Step on your failure to climb into your greatness." Now, my wife, when we got married, could not. And I want to emphasize that word. Cook. We can use capital letters right there. She's cooked me, I think that stuff's called lasagna. Yeah, that's it, lasagna. That's the god-awful stuff I ever ate in my life. I won't even eat it right now. All these years later, somebody go, "We're having lasagna." I'll say, "I'm fasting." It ain't happening. I will not try that twice. Them Italians owe us money right now. I take it out on them. And see, all you young people need to understand who all owes the United States. You wouldn't eat no more French fries. The French owe us money. You wouldn't eat, you know. Anyway, I'll go down through that one of these days when y'all grow up. We'll teach a financial lesson. I don't buy stuff. I don't buy a pizza. That's from communists. The communists said, "Send them bread and tomatoes, and they'll pay $12 for 12 inches of it. It's worth 46 cents. We deliver it, and we get 30 from them. Oh, by the way, put 6 slices of pepperoni. They think that's meat." That's the reason when you go to egg drop soup, remember that one. So my wife cooked me this lasagna. Now, we wasn't married. We were dating. That was it. And she said, I want to cook for you. And you know, I'm like, yeah, that's what I'm talking about. You know, because I've been spending all this money out there. I said, she won't cook. And I said, yeah. She said, do you like lasagna? Now, my wife is a fine-looking woman. I don't care if you like it or not. You didn't marry her. I did. She was a fox. I was a fox hunter. And if you say, preacher shouldn't talk like that, shut up. And I'm 67 years old and I'm still kissing. Sound like we need a little marriage seminar up here too. I take my wife on dates all the time. I hold her hand, all that stuff. Oh yeah, man, I hold my wife's hand. She ain't going nowhere. Where's she going to find a man like that? You know what I mean? I ain't afraid of losing my womack. That's a redneck term, womack. And so we sat down, and it was all nice, and she put the candles out. And, man, I sat there, and I'm thinking, now what better place in the world could you be to a naturally curly-headed, slant-eyed American? She has these Betty Davis eyes. You love them. No, well, anyway, praise the Lord. Some of y'all probably never heard that song. The girls on the front are going, what kind of eyes? And and I'm thinking, man, this is what I need. This is what I need. And I reached and I took that and put it in my mouth. And when it got in my mouth, I just froze like, because it ain't going down. No, it ain't. No, we looking for bounty towels now. You know, them little curtains you got on there, they call napkins. I don't use those things. You got to wash them. I'm talking about something we need to regurgitate in. I need a bounty towel. It's going to be a mess, you know. And the only thing that saved me was she put a bite in her mouth at the same time. And so I'm looking down thinking, how am I going to get out of this? And I glance up, and she's looking at me with, and I smile, and she said, this tastes terrible. And I went, you ain't joking. And we both spit it out, and I said, let's go get a steak. But that didn't stop her from cooking. Now, I was a little tentative about sampling. In fact, there for a long time, I'd say, let me tell you what I do. I cook the meat. You make the salad. It's hard to mess up a salad. But her failures, now if you eat my wife's cooking, you do not want to leave my house. In fact, when my brother and sister-in-law comes down there, I tell my wife, don't cook. We're going to eat sandwiches every night. And we're not changing up three or four different kinds of sandwich meat. I'm buying a pound of shaved ham. They're going to eat it morning, noon, and night. I want them out of here in 2 days. This ain't a hotel. Oh, this lady on the front's probably going, y'all's preachers are mean. I'm joking a lot. And so she now can cook so good that people that they become friends with her, and they'll invite themselves over for Thanksgiving. Like, we don't have anything to do Thanksgiving. And my wife is like, well, y'all come on over here. And I'm like, for what? Them women can't cook. What? That's why they're coming over here. And then they'll get over there and say, well, your cooking is so delicious. And my wife's one of these people that gives it all away. You know, takes a pot home and all this. And I'm like, No, not that much. No. We're talking about on a paper plate, okay? And actually, I like it in a paper bowl. Because it takes, you know, but she's now what I classify as a great cook. Long time ago, I went into what is called softball. How many of you know how to play softball? A lot of people will raise their hands when they say they played softball. And when they do, they mean they've gone out and played softball on the side of the building or out in a softball park with some friends. And so I decided to play softball because of, you know, the softball league there in Longview. And I was on a team, and the team that I was going to join, these guys weren't serious. They liked to play, but they liked to drink more than they liked to play. And so they would get out and they would drink a lot of beer, and then they'd get out there on the game nights, Tuesdays and Thursdays, and not even know where to throw the ball because practice wasn't practice. Practice was, hey, man, what you been doing?
I ain't been doing anything.
We going to hit any balls today? Well, okay. And so they didn't care if they lost. Let me say that again. They didn't care if they lost. It was just like, well, we played the game. We got the team name on it. We got the uniform. We had great uniforms. I had a illegal glove built because you're supposed to have measurements 1 inch longer so I could catch balls over the fence. I had a gold Easton bat that was loaded with plastic in the inside, which was not illegal at that time. I think it is now after they figured out what I did. But it would hit the ball longer, you know. I had glass-coated softballs. Glass-coated softballs will go further. Microwave softballs will go further. See, I want to win. So I'm looking in the rule book. It doesn't say anything about microwave and softballs, so here we go. Why? Because I want to win. I want the trophy. I'm tired of walking off the field looking like a fool and saying I'm in the softball game. So I finally quit that team and I joined another team. But this team was different because this team wanted to win. But they didn't know if I wanted to win. So I had to prove to them that not only did I want to win, but I was willing to do anything they needed me to do to win. In other words, I wasn't a one-position player. Whatever you needed me to do, I wanted to do because I wanted to learn how to do it, but I also wanted those trophies so I could tell everybody I'm a winner. Look what we've won. Now, the thing about that is winners get beat up. It's not high rolling. In fact, we practice 7 days a week from January to November. We took December off. 7 days a week. If we weren't playing in a tournament, we were practicing. Our practice sessions lasted no less than 2 hours. That means even when it was cold, baby, it's cold outside, the coach would say, run till you get hot. Because the coach wasn't just a coach. He could also do everything he was telling us to do. There's too many preachers can preach something they can't do. We need preachers that are willing to get down in the trenches and say, not only do I want this church great, but I'm willing to help it be great. And you have a pastor today that says, I want Springfield, Missouri to know this is a great place and I'm willing to get in the trenches to make it great. Somebody clap your hands to Jesus and holler amen. Thank you, Jesus. You can be seated. And so, you know, they asked me, where can you hit? And I said, where do you need? So I would learn to hit to left field. Easy for me because I'm right-handed. But I also learned to hit to right field because right field is the place where most balls are missed. Here's why. You have to learn the statistics of the game. See, when somebody that
really hasn't played right field and really hasn't coached, their greatest mistake is to place the weakest player in right field. Because they'll go, you know, you play left, you got a big arm, you play this, you play, and then you go to right field. But what they're really saying is, he's our weakest player, so let's put him in right field. So I, realizing right field most of the time is the weakest guy, begin to learn how to hit to right field, and here's why. I know all of you ladies are really interested in this. We probably need to be talking about cooking materials and stuff. But it's because a right-handed batter that hits to left field, you have to have an outside pitch, and you don't swing through the ball, you swing to the ball. And it rotates in the air going to the right because you are a right-handed hitter. The guy running to the ball looks like it's coming to him, but it's really going away from him, and he hardly ever catches it. And if you'll notice, right at the end, he jumps to the left because he realizes I made a mistake. Me, knowing that, hit more home runs to right field just because the weakest player was on the hardest position. First base, pap. How hard is that? Pap, 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 pap. Ain't no running in that, pap. Right field, you can see them out there running. Which way is that ball going? It's called a knuckleball. It's going through the air jerking. So what we learned to do was outplay our opponent by practicing more than they did. In other words, we practiced against them before we played them because the coach would go scout them and he would tell us they have two batters that are left-handed. They're going to go to right field. They have this, they have that. And so when we got there at practice, that's what we practiced. We didn't just practice catching balls. We practiced on how to beat our enemy. I mean our opponent. But when we got there, even though we knew some of them, they never were our friends. They were our enemies because they wanted the same trophy that we wanted. And so you could not, watch this, be friends with your enemy while you're in the middle of the game. And you could not, in fact, in Longview, run with your enemy because you were so against them winning, we didn't even socialize with each other. What we've got to do in the church is get repositioned for greatness. We're sitting around positioning ourselves just enough out of line that we can't make it work. We had a great shortstop. That dude was, we called him a vacuum cleaner. He could scoop a ball, fire it, but he got hit one day right there. Ball hit a rock and jumped up, hit him right there. From then on, he was skittish. Instead of coming in like this, which is the way a shortstop normally has he's playing, if he's playing straight up, he comes in with his knees bent, and he comes down. If he's playing out, he's jumping. But he, instead of doing that, every ball now is like this because he's afraid of facing his problem. And now his problem is bigger than his solution. He could get his enemy out, but he remembers when he got hit. And what got him, when he got hit, now that becomes more important to him than getting the enemy out. He probably would never get hit like that again if he would go ahead and face up on the ball. But since he didn't, he was letting the enemy walk over him game after game after game after game. And he would miss those balls 2 or 3 inches. You know, there's too many of y'all that have been hit by the enemy that aren't squaring up and saying, I'm going to get in the altar and I'm going to make sure, even though I've been hit before, I'm not worried I'm going to be a success. I'm going to see the supernatural. I'm going to see the miraculous. I'm not afraid to try it. Clap your hands and magnify Jesus. Somebody holler amen. Now, this old white boy can run, used to, can't anymore. I used to be able to jump. I know they had this thing years ago, white men can't jump, or I think that might have been a show or something. That's a lie. I've jumped from house to house. I've jumped 8-foot fences. I've changed clothes in a phone booth. I've looked black-headed, and by the next time I got on the other side of town, I was blonde-headed. It depends on what kind of crime it was. I just never dressed up as a woman. You know what I'm saying? I didn't have the hips for it.
Y'all get home tonight and go,
well, I don't like the way he talks about his crime days. I don't know anything else to preach about. I didn't go to Bible school.
And so what I realized was Scott will never help our team because he has been scarred so bad. Now, watch this. Well, I'm fixing to be closed. I'm just putting this in perspective. Our catcher took a ball from me. David had me over in right field. And this guy thinks he's going to run all the way around the bases because the ball got hung up on the fence. That's 300 feet. And I dug it out and I threw it past third base and one hopped it into our catcher. And the catcher blocked the bag. And the guy hit him. And the catcher nearly bit his tongue off. But the guy was out. Now, the reason I know this is because blood's coming out both sides of his mouth. Now, watch this. They took him to Longview Regional Hospital, sewed his tongue back on, and the next day, he comes out with black eyes to practice. Couldn't even talk. I said, man, you bit your tongue off nearly. In other words, he wanted the trophy even though he was carrying the scar. Are you hearing me? Does Springfield, Missouri want the supernatural even though we are carrying some scars? Are we ready for the big season? Are we ready for the big game? We've got to have some players that are saying, whatever I've got to do, I'm willing to do. I want to see the real deal happen in our sanctuary. Somebody holler hallelujah. You can be seated. I remember getting all these trophies. Not one time, sister, do I ever remember. Now, that may have happened, but I don't remember it. Ever being presented a trophy where I looked good. I mean, I look good.
This lady's not ever coming back. She's going, brother, you need to go look in the mirror. You ain't even got no hair, okay?
But where's all that come from? Jesus, help me. But every time I went to get on the stand, I was bleeding. I have scars right here. I was playing in coaching shorts and slid into second base. They rolled under instead of over. And when they rolled under, they took my skin straight up with them. Had to go get Silverdyne cream on. That's healing. That heals burns. And they taped me up. And instead of me calling David and saying, hey, I'm all messed up, I went right back out there. Dislocated my right shoulder, diving for a ball. Went there to Longview Regional. They popped it back in, put it in a sling.
I went straight back to the game and told David, I can play first base, and I can bat left-handed. You know why? Because we only had 9 players, and you're supposed to have 10. If they hadn't have had me in a damaged condition, the whole team would have lost. You don't have to be perfect to be on the winning team. Are you hearing what I'm preaching tonight? You've got to say, I can be repositioned for greatness, and I may not have 100% behind me, but I'm going to give it everything I got. Even if I've got to do it one-handed, I will not let this church just be a church and a run-of-the-mill place that sits on the side of the hill. I want a supernatural demonstration of the Holy Ghost. Look at your neighbor and say, you can be great. Now, I'm preaching. I never liked it when I wasn't on the starting lineup. I'll be honest with you. When David called out those names and I wasn't on the starting lineup, first thing I'd do, I didn't go down there and get by the Gatorade can on the end of the bench. I ain't playing. I'm just going to sit down here. I was about all up on him. You call my name? He'd look at me. No. Why not? Well, I'm going to save you for the next game. I can play 2 games. Well, we know you can. I played 3 days, Friday, Saturday, and Sunday, in the Texas State Tournament. Never left the field. 3 days slept on the bag, never took a bath. Lost the first game, and you know what that means? You got to play double elimination. You got to play every 3 hours for 63 teams. But you know what? That Sunday night at 12 o'clock, guess who was in the final game? We had to beat Pittsburgh 2 times because they hadn't lost any games. We had a little meeting, and everybody's wore down. We're tired, bro. We've been on the field since. Ask Sister Poe. That's the place where she said, we need to have a talk. And I said, what is it? She said, you need to quit softball or quit me. I said, hold on, I'll get you a ride home. In other words, I'm going to get that trophy. If you love me, you love me, then you love me. But you got to understand, right now, that trophy's mine. I'm not walking out of here a loser. But you know, at 12 o'clock, we had beaten them by the second time we beat them. And at 12 o'clock at night, with no TVs around, no newscast around, no spectators in the stands, we were called. I was bleeding from both knees, had patches, had all kinds of preparation H stuck up on me. That heals wounds real quick. I had preparation H all over my body. But you know what? When I was walking, I was tired. But you know what? When he handed us the trophies, we looked over at that enemy and we said, we're the champions. We are the champions, my friend. Oh, you're not hearing me. You got to look at the devil sometimes and say, I don't look good, and I'm bleeding, and I've been beat up, and I've been doing it a long time. But when I get finished, we are going to be the champions. We're going to have healings in this church. We're going to have miracles in this church. We're going to be part of it. Be seated for just a second. We're closed. See, this is why, even with the Chinese virus, who came up with the word COVID? Some scientists in Chinese came up with the word Chinese virus. It's like, oh, Chinese virus. Here's why the church, I don't care if you're in a face mask or whatever that plastic thing is. I don't care if you're in a surgical mask, all them blue things. I've seen a girl today that had sequins all over hers. I think it was a girl. I'm scared to ask. I really wanted to say, walk like a man, but not. All that's in the songbook. Y'all don't have songbooks anymore, do you? See, there's only one left. I'll get rid of it because I got some more messages I need to preach out of the songbook. And but that's 147, right before Amazing Grace. And but you know, I've got some of them masks. I had to wear one all day. Benny Hinn couldn't have a revival, could he? He'd fall down. He'd be the only one. Everybody else going, what happened to Benny? I don't like that. I don't like that one tonight. It'll be on Facebook. Watch. I promise y'all. Get on my page and see if I'm lying. Benny Hinn had a revival of one. He was wearing a face mask. While he was singing, breathe on me. It's lean on me. But see, when you are, it doesn't matter what condition we're in. Remember that old song, what condition, what condition? It don't matter. What matters is what's in my spirit. Now, what I'm asking in closing, what's going to happen if a blind person walks in here and asks to be healed? How many of you are willing to be repositioned to attack that blindness instead of stare at it and go, oh my God, what do we do now? Because that kind of reaction misses the ball every time. We've got to be able to say, there's a devil-possessed person. Pastor doesn't have to do it by himself. Why? Because I'm getting right up in the middle of this thing. He can call on me from the bench. He can call on me from the platform. He can call on me from the second row. It don't matter, because this is one body. This is one group of people, and we're going to have revival. Send whatever you got to send in. You can be seated. I'm closing. Think. One lady in Louisiana came to me years ago, and she, you know them women, you know something ain't right when they come up to you and they're already got their head bobbing. You know what I'm talking about? Men ain't looking at me right now. They're all looking straight ahead like. When a woman walks up to you and her head's bobbing like Mike Tyson looking for her ear, something's going to happen. This woman come up there bobbing her head. And then you all, if y'all ain't married, just promise you, Brother Poe, and then she stops, and when they do that hip thing, it's on. I've seen six-year-old girls come walking up to you. Brother Poe, do you have any candy? I'm like, I'm looking at your mother, aren't I? And she come walking up to me, and she said this right here. Of course, she was, you know, whatever she was. And she come to me, and she said, Brother Powell, I've never seen anybody in the whole church delivered from cocaine except you. And here's what she really wanted me to do. That spirit, see, wanted me to, I'm questioning whether you really were delivered of 19 years of cocaine abuse. That was the spirit. See, I was understanding the spirit. It was wanting me to back down and say, well, God's good. And then she would have triumphantly walked away and said, in her own spirit, Brother Poe, eye to eye, was afraid to answer the question. But he likes preaching it. But instead, because there's greatness in me, I looked at her and said, that's very sad that you have never been in a service where somebody has been delivered from cocaine. Either your church is dead or you're missing a lot of church. In other words, yes, I used to do it. I've got marks all over my body, but guess what? You're not going to back a winner up in a corner. I'm coming out and tell you, greater is he that's within me than he that's within that world. There's going to be cocaine freaks that are going to come in, and they're going to need to know they can get delivered in this house. Be seated for a minute. I'm trying to hurry. I know Friday night's tough on everybody a little bit. But
this dude was going to kill himself. And my preacher called. He said, Gordon, get to the church quick. I said, what's the matter? He said, we got a guy in the fellowship hall with a gun going to kill himself. Now, the pastor, I'm like, that ain't my church. Why you want me to go up in there and get killed? You're the one getting all the tithes. I really wanted to say, you don't have a walk with God? Not really. I said, what do you mean? You know, because it kind of shocked me. I went, what do you mean he's trying to kill himself? I was thinking he's one of our guys. I said, well, who is it? He said, we don't know. I said, oh, is it a visitor? He said, yes. And somehow he walked in the fellowship hall. And he's sitting there in a folding chair with a gun to his head. And our secretary, church secretary, walked by the room and saw him just sitting there. And he said, the first thing I said was, what in the world? And she goes, I have no idea. And so they walked in and said, sir, can I help you? Is anything wrong? And he said this, I'm a crystal freak. Now, my pastor had no idea. That's what he drank out of. You know what I mean? He had zero. I'm telling you, I love the guy. He had, like, when I would say Mary Jane, he'd be like, what? Or I'd say, hey, you know, I used to smoke them roaches. He'd go, oh. He'd just make this face like, oh, you hippies do some strange stuff, son. You know, I'd go, yeah, I put them in my ashtray and you know, and then roll them up and just smoke them all together. He'd go, oh. He'd go to the back. You could see him going to his office. He had no idea. In fact, when I turned my coke into the church, he thought I was turning in talcum powder. I brought it in a big plastic Safeway, a big Safeway bag, and put it on the altar. I thought that's a good place to get rid of it. And I brought it in there. He looked in there because it's one of them house cleaning services, you know. And where if you had anything against the Lord, well, I done brought a tear gas mask in there. And in my coke, and I had a bunch of crystal, and I had bongs, and he's looking through it, and he's like, Gordon, we don't preach against tear gas mask. And I went, oh, Pastor, I smoked dope through that. And he went, what? And he looked down there, and he said, why did you bring, and this is quiet on the microphone. He wasn't on the microphone. He said, why did you bring all this talcum powder? I said, Pastor, that's a pound of cocaine. And he went, just come to the front, please. I mean, he freaked out, man. He couldn't even talk. He was like, and he looked at me like, you dummy. And I just looked back at him. I said, you know, I thought it'd be better to give it to the church than anywhere. Man, you can make a lot of money. You can pay the church off of that. You know, he was like, so he didn't know. And so here's this guy. And so he said, I'm a crystal freak. Well, all he knew was the word freak, but he didn't understand the word crystal. So he says, call Gordon. Because I was the only one in the church back in those days that really knew what a crystal freak was. The rest of them was all cowboys. They knew Willie was Waylon. That was the biggest joke. Willie's hair was longer than mine, y'all. And when he said, I'm cutting grass, the IRS found out he really meant it. He had marijuana fields, and y'all thought he was a cowboy. Okay, I didn't have bills, okay? I just bought it. Y'all looking at me like, Willie wasn't a cowboy? He smoked marijuana? Why do you think he never bought another guitar? He even didn't even know his guitar had a hole in it. He kept hanging his thumb in there. Y'all are going to go home and Google tonight. Willie's guitar hole. Oh, my God. Throw out the records. So I walk in there, and watch what happens. I'm driving up there, and I come up on the hill where Longview High School is. And all of a sudden, red hair says to me, and now I know a bunch of y'all don't even have a clue what that is. That's fine. That's a kind of marijuana. If you was like me, you can smell the difference, okay?
Mexican dirt, weed, alcohol, ghost, types of meat. I know all that. And so I could smell red hair sesame, and I'm looking in like, where in the world? Now I'm right up on top of the hill where all the people at the school are walking. You know. And I'm like, what in the world? And I just pulled over. Got no pot in this car. I'm looking under the seats. I don't think I've ever even smoked a joint in this car. Smoked a joint in a bunch of cars, but I don't think I smoked a joint in this car. Where'd that? And all of a sudden it dawned on me. I'm going to the church to deal with a crystal freak. Satan just put in marijuana to where it smelt like, brother, somebody right there was smoking it. That's strong. To mess with my mind, to say, you remember when? So I would walk in intimidated, like I'm guilty, and I shouldn't even be here. But instead, Pastor, I got out of my little Cutlass, and I went around to the other side, and I opened up the door while people are walking, and said, devil, get out of my car right now. I'm going to go, and that guy's fixing to get delivered. In other words, devil, I'm not going to predicate what's going to happen on my failures. I'm expecting a miracle to happen when I get to that church. Is there anybody here? We'll stand and say, we've got to start expecting a miracle. Shake your neighbor and say, yes. I walked in, and this dude's got a gun, 38 snub nose, right there. And I said, hey, man, what's up? He expected the preacher to come in and go, Lord, have mercy on my. I just walked in like old druggie. I walked in and said, what's up, man? He said, I can't take it anymore. His lips were eaten. Crystal makes you dry mouth, makes you smoke, makes you drink a lot of whiskey, can't get drunk. Beer, whatever. Marijuana makes you eat. He'd eaten the side of his lip off. On his skin, there was red dots where the nerves were already starting to come out. He's dying. He's frail. He's skinny. He's yellow. It's sucking all the life out of him. And I walked in there and I said, what's up, man? He said, I can't take anymore. So all I know is come to the church and ask forgiveness, and then I'm going to blow my brains out. And I said, how long have you been sitting here? He said, oh, about 40 minutes. And I said, well, let me tell you this. I used to be a crystal meth dealer and did it for 16 years. But when Jesus saved me, I never went to rehab. I wasn't like Amy. Let me go to rehab. My daddy says, go, go, go. You, some of y'all are like, how does he know all these songs? I live in the spirit realm where everything is. You know what I did? I got the Holy Ghost, and Jesus cured me right then. I never did another line of crystal ever. You know why? Because God somehow saw an old drug addict that was being able to be repositioned. He was knowing. He don't care where he's going. He don't care who he's going to preach to. He's going to carry my word, and people are going to get healed. Springfield, Missouri, God has repositioned you for greatness. It takes you. Somebody holler amen. And so I talked him down, and then he just started crying. And you know what? That night Charles was sitting right beside me. Dots all over his face, nerve endings. Couldn't even touch him. Nerve endings. Teeth gone nearly. Come altar time. Pastor was freaked out because he was just like, he was preaching his guts out, but he wouldn't hardly look over there because he's like, you know, is this guy got a gun? Going to do it right here? You know, I don't know. He didn't know anything about drugs. And all of a sudden he gave an altar call. I looked at Charles. I said, you ready? He said, what are we supposed to do? I said, we're supposed to go get off crystal. He said, that just like that? And I said, well, do you want to be like me? Oh, I know some of y'all will think, well, that sounds cocky. No, that sounds real convinced. lot of difference.
It's cocky to people that don't understand the dimension I live in. But then I've got a guy that's going to commit suicide if God don't do something. So I ain't got time to be politically correct and grammarly correct. Word share, I mean, word, you know what I'm talking about, all that mess. You know, word check and all that don't count right now. I said, you want to be like me? He said, yeah. I said, let's go, Bo. It wasn't like, would you like to go to the altar and pray? I said, let's go, man. Got up. I said, hold my hand. Walked down the altar. Pastor's looking at me. I said it out loud. He wants to be free of crystal and spirit of suicide. People in the church, they didn't go, oh, my God, we have another one. I said it out loud, you know. Wants to be free of crystal meth and suicide. Dude tried to kill himself today. Pastor said, who's ready to come to cast out suicide and get this? It wasn't two people come up there. It was so many people I had to get out of the way. It was like, whoa, wait a minute. I'm going to get in front of him because I'm going to be part of this. I was on the gun part. You know, it wasn't like, well, I hope, but we'll get up there and pray. Oh, Lord, please, if there's any possible way that your will could be done. When them people come out of them pews, it was like, dun, 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 dun. Dun, 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 dun. It's like Dirty Harry. Make my day. You know what? Charles got the Holy Ghost, and when we baptized him in Jesus' name, when he come up out of the water, there wasn't any red dots on his body at all, and his lip was healed instantly. I believe God is raising up a church right here in this city that is ready to take that dimension and that walk and that leap of faith. Can somebody praise him with me? So tonight we need you. People say, well, you know, I don't want to get in trouble. I was in the preacher's office more after I got the Holy Ghost than I was all of high school. It was nothing. It just seemed like every service, Brother Weaver would go. Scott and all them will be at Shoney's. I'd rather be told, you know, let me explain to you how crazy people can be. Or how desiring. I went to the hospital and started praying for people in the hospital I didn't even know. Went up on the third floor. People laying there back in them day, breathing. I just walk in. How you doing? My name's Gordon Poe. I go to Calvary Christian Tabernacle up on the hill. And I'm going to pray for you. God's going to raise you up right now. And you know what people do? Hit that buzzer. And our Lord, in the name of Jesus, all of a sudden the cops. You can't do that in here. Your only preachers can do. Well, I've got a place to learn, man. Now, see, that sounds crazy to y'all young people. But I want to see some sucker jump up and go, hey! He did it again! You know? And so I told Scott next week, it went around the church that I'd got escorted out. You know how Longview is. Everything gets, anything Gordon Poe did down there in them days, it's like Gordon Poe got caught in the hospital praying for people. And then everybody would be like, well, that's better than doing drugs. Last time I heard of him, he was in the hot box on top of the Gregg County Courthouse. I told Scott, I said, man, I got a plan. He went, what is it? I said, you want to see somebody healed? He said, I love it, man. I said, okay, here's my plan. You go to the first floor. I said, no, wait a minute. You go to the third floor. I've been recognized before. I'll go to the first floor. We'll tag team them suckers. and God will heal somebody. And Scott was like, let's do it. And we did. We went in there. And we both got escorted out. And we both were in the pastor's office. And we were both, and here's what he said. Gordon, you've always been in here last week, so I know it was you that put him up to it. Is that true or not true? I said, well, I ain't going to hell over that. But yes, sir, it was. I said, if I'm going to hell, it's going to be over cocaine or something like that. But I ain't going to go to hell over a little bitty stinking lie. Yeah, I put him up to it. He said, I told you to stay out of there. You're just going to put a bad reputation. I said, but Pastor, let me ask you a question. What if somebody would have got up and walked out with us? Would you have been proud then? He looked at me and said, well, maybe we need to start a hospital ministry. Are you seeing? I didn't even know what I was doing, but I was saying to myself, I'm not just going to sit on the bench and do nothing. I'd rather get in trouble for doing something, even if it ain't right, than to be sitting around moping about nothing. Somebody praise Jesus.
You can be seated. I got to hurry. I got 4 minutes. You know why we have dead church? Because we have dead saints.
Well, now it's like, well, we was all excited about him getting in trouble, and now it's turned on us.
See, we've become too religious. I mean, a true walking prostitute, okay? I know what I mean. Walked into one of my TOR services, one of my crusades, 2,000 people there, two of them. They thought they were walking into a big conference where all the men were, you know, they're working the halls. And they walk in, and they come right down to the front and sit right over there. And there was about 29 pastors, if I think right. It was around 29 to 30, somewhere in there, maybe 25 to 30. And I heard some of them go, oh, God, oh, Jesus. Right behind me. And I was like, well, I looked over. See, I couldn't see them because I could only see up here. And I looked over and I went, oh, wow. Some of them thought, he backslid. Because I'd heard some go, oh, Jesus. I mean, that's almost the same exact tone, Bubba, that they went, oh, Jesus. And when I looked around, I was like, oh, wow. I got a T-shirt. Welcome to that. Praise the Lord. Well, you know what? They're about to get the Holy Ghost. See, I was tired of preaching about something and then running from it when it started happening. So when I got up and started preaching, instead of preaching to this side, I started preaching to that side because I knew there was already some bellious heifers over here, but there was also two prostitutes over here that wanted their life changed. They'd felt the worship and the prayer and the praise, and now they're shaking, and before it's over with, they come running to the altar, and they prayed through, and tonight they're in church. I wouldn't dare name their names because they're married and they're great people, but you know what? That night, the devil said, I will put something in there that'll shut you up, but instead, it was like, devil, you don't understand. I've just been waiting for somebody like that to come on in. Give God some praise.
You could be seated. When we prayed them through, the next night they didn't know anything about Pentecost. They had on a dress. It's back down, bound up, probably about right there. Sitting right there. They got there early. Regular Pentecostals were like, hey, is it time to start? Them girls done got on the front. They're like this right here. When we walked out, they were like. Now, I will say, I was a little intimidated way back. I will say, it was like, God bless you, hallelujah. You know. You do not know me, okay? You're from Houston, I'm from Longview, amen. And but you know what I'm saying? They were happy to be there. And you know what? I'm fit to get you. When we started singing, them choirs started rocking,
Them old girls didn't know how to do that Pentecostal. I didn't know how to do that. Honey, they busted it out. You know what Brother Poe did up there? Like, oh, my God, oh, my God. You know what Brother Poe did? Throwed my jacket off and busted out with him. You know why? Because I wanted the devil to know. I don't care what they were doing. They were worshiping God. They might not know exactly what to do, but they had a worshiping spirit. Are we ready for that kind of revival where they don't look like us? They don't act like us, but it don't matter because they're a winner. They've got a greatness in them. You can be seated. After church, some of the men were like, oh, God. You know, some of the people that ain't never been out in the world were like, oh, Jesus. Some of the pastors were like, oh, my God. Whew, that was sensual. I said, really? That wasn't nothing, man. You ought to be out in the bar with them. Can you see the difference? I said, well, that ain't nothing. Well, I know, Brother Poe, you know, my people saw that. I mean, what am I going to do if they break down Sunday and just do that? I said, you have revival, pray through some people. Instead of preaching this whipped cream message and going to Luby's before the Baptist, we get about 45 prostitutes in here. Get about 150 drug addicts. Let me tell you one more story and we'll go home. I was preaching for Doug White down there in Silsby, Texas. Now, Silsby's down in there in the woods. You can look it up. It's just Silsby. He's going, bro, he'd never had me for a revival. Well, we started having this revival. People started lapping it up, eating it up. I was just having so much fun, and people started praying through, and his wife's over laughing, and Doug told me, Brother White, he said, Bo, I have never seen a preacher, ever, in all the years of my ministry, can get people to laughing, and then the Holy Ghost moves, and they just come running. He said, I preach till I am pouring sweat, and I get one person an altar. And you get up there and start telling stories, and they got to laughing. And then all of a sudden you go, somebody got the Holy Ghost come running, and there'll be 25 people come running. He said, I ain't never seen nothing like that. How you do that? And I went, is that what I do? And his wife is going, yes, I've laughed more this revival than I have my whole marriage. I went, oh, sis, I don't know if I'd have said it that way. Hallelujah, praise God. And so there was a drug addict come back in there. I didn't know she was a drug addict. Holy Ghost said, go back there and get her. So I walked back to the back, and I said, hey, Holy Ghost told me he wanted to fill you with the Holy Ghost, deliver you from Crystal. This blonde-headed chick just looked at me like, oh, my God. The lady sitting beside her, now the church is in the momentum, see, instead of her going, oh, my God, she's embarrassed my sister. She said, you better listen to him. And you know what the girl did? She said, I'm ready. And I said, well, come on down, girl. I didn't say, come on down, sis. I would love to lay hands on you. I said, come on down, girl. God's finna mess up your world. I don't say things right. I know that. I ain't going to ever be asked to preach a general conference. My God, you'd have to pray through all the preachers first. That takes too long. Can't pray through the saints because you'd have to go through 10,000 preachers. My Lord, that'd take 3 months. You can't get one of them suckers an altar for nothing. Praise the Lord. Hallelujah. I forgot I am in Missouri. Well, ooh, my license got real light on that one. Anyway, that chick grabbed my arm, and I don't know why. I have no idea. See, I held out my arm like I was going to escort my daughter down the aisle to get married. And you know what she put? And so it looked like we was fitting to go, dun, 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 dun. And we got right here, and I said, you ready to get rid of that drug?
She said, I'm ready. Laid hands on her. She went to praying. You know what those country folks didn't do? By the time I asked that question, she was surrounded by women. Men had their hands up praying for her. She gets the Holy Ghost. I didn't know that she was living with the biggest crystal dealer in the county. She leaves and goes get some more clients. They get the Holy Ghost. They go get some more. They get the Holy Ghost. And here's what Brother White said one night. Gordon Poe, we've got more track marks in the altar than Union Pacific. In other words, the drug dealers were telling everybody, there's a place where you can get delivered. I wonder if Springfield, Missouri can get us. I wonder if this church can get into a repositioning for greatness where the drug addict says, I can be delivered in that church because the people want it. The people want it. The people want it. They're willing to practice. They're willing to do anything they've got to do. I know I've gone over a little bit. Let me show you this, and then I will go. I'm sitting beside my mother one time, and Dennis Gunn sitting there, and I invited him to church. And, man, I was crazy. I'm still got a little crazy in me. And I'm sitting there like this on the end. Dennis right there and my mama right there. And, man, they was the brother, pastor were throwing down. I was like, yeah! Now, this guy has been in nightclubs with me. In fact, he quit running with me because I was so mean. He literally told me to my face, Gordon, I like you. You're a good friend. I can't run with you, man. You're crazy. You are just too mean. And I went, hey, bud, we've been friends for all of our life. He went, I just can't handle it. He said, man, when you get it like that, he said, you just go nuts. He said, you just go nuts. He said, you know, I can't. And I went, okay, man, we're good. But then what happened was he was told I was in church, and he comes in shorts and a muscle shirt, walks right down that aisle, and I'm up there playing the bass because they said, at our church, there's a guy named Gordon Poe who plays the bass. And Dennis said, the Gordon Poe I know is dead. He's probably in the Sabine River. That's where all the criminals died. Y'all can figure that one out when you get home. That's the reason people go catfishing there. Anyway, he comes walking down that aisle right there, bro, in cut-off blue jeans and muscle shirt, long hair doing this. And I'm up there, and I look up, I went, hey, man, what's up? And the Pentecostals were like, oh, Jesus. There he goes. He's having a flare-up. Dennis comes right there. I'm playing. Walk out and go, what's up, boy? He said, Gordon, is that you? I went, yeah. He goes, what are you doing? I'm saying, rock on. I don't know any country people, all right? And Dennis said out loud, we thought you was dead. I went, I'm dead. And then I got raised up. The Bible says something about me being a new creature. I'm just not the old guy. You know what I'm saying? I don't do dope anymore. He said, are you a member? I said, I don't know, but I go here. He said, how do I get off alcohol? I said, hold on, let me unplug. I unplugged that bass. Of course, you know what it sounds like. All the choir members, oh, my God, he unplugged while I was live. I said, all right, throw your hands up. By that time, the pastor's walking over there. Here's what he said. Garden, what's going on? I said, the dude wants to be free of alcohol. He's alcoholic. Wants the Holy Ghost. Brother Spears, I wasn't going to say his name. But anyway, he said, well, let's pray him through then. I said, all right, throw up your hands, big daddy. He threw up his hands. We started praying. He gets the Holy Ghost. We baptize him. We crank the choir back up. He leaves the church. I'm thinking, what's going on? He went and got Scott, and we went and got Philip, his brother. Walked right down there. They've been home watching a football game. Here comes his brother. Dennis is holding him by the hand. Said, hey, Gordon, can you do it twice in one day? That's the kind of people we need to see around here. And they need to be sent beside some people that will say, we can do it 3,000 times in one day. Give Jesus some praise right now. Be seated. And so I'm sitting there, and Philip's a new convert, and I'm trying to act real cool, you know. And I was going, yeah, preach. Oh, Jesus, oh, God. Okay. Sometimes I still get a little wild, man. All of a sudden, the Holy Ghost said, do what you normally do. I look over at my brand new convert. Amen. He said, do what you normally do. I didn't even know what the voice of God sounded like. I just, to then, it was just like going through my head, do what you normally do. Started doing this. My mother reaches around Dennis, pops me on the knees, and she said these words, you better obey him. Here's what I told Dennis. I'll be right back. He said, where are you going? I said, I usually run and stand up and go, ah! But I've been trying to be Pentecostal since you've been here. But it ain't working out too good for me. I took off running, and old Dennis took off running right behind me. Come on. These people need to come into a church that's wild and crazy and worships God with all their heart. They need to see shouting and dancing and leaping for joy. Some more of you people just need to come out right now and do a shout in the aisle. My God, come out and just do a praise and a dance. Come on out and say, I'm not afraid of anything. I'm being repositioned for greatness. If you've been hurt, abused, locked up, confused, get out and dance. Get out and shout. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. I want everybody that's in the aisles right now, in the pews, I just want you to start picking up your feet and setting them down and saying, God, I got to be repositioned for greatness. I'm going to have to shout even when I'm hurt. I'm going to have to dance even when I'm cut. I'm going to have to praise even when I'm bleeding. But if I'm bleeding, I'm going to be a champion. I'm going to be a champion. Give Jesus some praise. Stand, we're fixing to be dismissed. Now I want to show you, because we're trying to build this church. See, I've been asked the question, how do we get from here to there? Is we build. We build. Last Friday, y'all were frozen in your tracks. Come on, admit it. Don't make God slap you. I'm scared. Sunday, we had one. Sunday night, one lady took off running. Tonight, we got 1, 2, 3, 4, 5, 6, 7, 8, 9, 10, 11, 12, 13, 14. We got at least 14, 15, some men out. Wasn't you sitting way over there somewhere, brother? Or are you sitting back over here? We got men. See what I'm saying? Now, oh. You know what I just saw on you? I just saw this. I just saw the Lord told me to tell you you weren't in misdirection. You were in direction. You got repositioned. You got repositioned because he needed your greatness to come out. And therefore, what you've been practicing and wanting couldn't where you was, but you're in a place where it will. Somebody pray for her right now. Somebody pray for that lady. I don't know who that is. Pray for her right now in the name of Jesus. 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 Hallelujah. We want God's glory in this house. We want God's glory in this house. We have to have people in this house. She's thinking, why was I separated? The Lord's saying, you weren't separated. You were redirected to a place where you can grow. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. Somebody just reach out. That's it. Touch her. In the name. Put your hands towards her, folks. In the name. See, sometimes God's got to give an answer to a question. And she just got an answer tonight. She's being repositioned. And suddenly she gets an answer. Hallelujah.
See, she's going from second grade to third grade. I don't know who that is. You know what I mean? She's got this question in her head. She can't go to 12th grade. Now she knows God knows. Hey! Better take it, my boss.